Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Startup Sales. Really excited for this week's episode. We have Anton Herrmann with us, all the way from Germany, and he is the founder and CMO of Spacegoats, spacegoats.io. And he actually did a good preparation. He has a list of all his mistakes and things that have messed up over the time on getting new clients and going to market, and he's going to share that with us. So let's get to today's episode.
Welcome to the Startup Sales Podcast, where we dive into the world of sales and marketing. Join us as we interview founders and industry experts, uncovering their successes and failures in the market. Get valuable insights and learn from their experiences to boost your own sales strategies. And now, a word from this episode's sponsor. Are you tired of struggling to reach your sales targets? We believe in you get what you pay for. That's why you pay only for the leads you get. Introducing Startup Sales, the leading growth hacking agency that guarantees meetings with your prospects. With our proven strategies, we'll bring you between 15 to 30 qualified prospects every month. And here's the best part. It's risk-free. You only pay us upon success. Don't let your competitors get ahead. Let Startup Sales supercharge your sales pipeline today. Visit us at startupsales.io. Startup Sales, your ultimate growth hacking partner.
Anton, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Adam. I'm looking forward.
Yeah, me too. I before we actually started recording, you were sharing with me that you also have a podcast and you use it for the same way. So I'm excited to kind of jump into that as well during this conversation. But can you give people a little bit of background about who you are and why they should listen to you?
Thank you very much. Yeah, as you already said up front, we are going to talk about mistakes we made in our journey. And you said all mistakes, but I don't think we have time for all mistakes as there are too many. But what we are doing. So my name is Anton Herrmann. I'm one of the founder of Spacegoats. We were used to be Amazon sellers from 2016, so quite a long already. And then we discovered that there are many hurdles selling on Amazon, especially internationalizing your business. So we developed a service where we sell other companies or other brands' products through our Amazon account and Shopify in all over Europe, UK, and also in the USA. And so that's like a B2B product, but you can say it's B2B2C in the end because we are selling your products to the end customer all over the place.
Excellent. Really exciting. So let's just jump into the deep end here. What's your biggest mistake with your go-to-market?
So we are a VC-funded company, and in the beginning, when we received that VC money, we had growth goals. And we optimized on user, like number of users. And I think that was like the most horrific mistake we did on in our journey. So we had wrong incentives on the sales side because you could close every customer if he's profitable or not profitable. And in the end, we reach our goals. But a small customer makes almost the same work for us as a big customer. But so we closed many customers as we're optimizing on the number of users. And these customers, they turned away. They did not make a lot of money. We had to blow up our operations department. So in the end, it all comes down to unit economics view. And we did not do our homework on unit economics before that, but we did. Well, we are doing it now and we did it afterwards. And I think that was the biggest mistake, as we were not profitable with at least 75% of our customers, which is terrible, of course.
So what stage was this? You said you just raised a round. Was that seed or what?
That was pre-seed, I would say. We had already a running product. It was more manual work than automated. So right now, most of it is automated. But in the beginning, we were sending spreadsheets around the world. And but we were pretending it's automated, so we worked as it would be automated, and so we raised money in the pre-seed stage. We had already revenue, and the goal was to close that amount of revenue to release the next tranche of the money. So that was like a investor's external goal, and we just took it because we didn't know better at this point.
So you had a goal to reach a certain amount of revenue before
customers.
You would get the, so it's customers, not revenue.
Yes, and that was the problem.
And that's how the,
that was the problem. Yes, exactly.
Okay. And was this just because you guys fixated on that at the beginning, or did you guys get external advice, or you may be throwing somebody under the bus here, but who told you to go after the number of customers?
So in the end, we didn't know better. Nobody of us knew it better. So we are not a software as a service as you're used to it, like you credit card sign up and go for it. It's more like a software with a service, but we treated our product as it is a software as a service. But the manual labor in the background was not taken into consideration, and that's why we were on this wrong track. It's not any one specific mistake. I think we all just did not know it better at this point, but today we hopefully know better.
So if you were to do it again, besides focusing on a different metric, what would you do differently?
What I would do differently. So we did many mistakes. So that was one of the mistakes. We went, I would say, to 100% on inbound leads. What does inbound leads mean? We do marketing, great marketing campaigns, videos like with you or with other podcasters or YouTubers, and the leads, they apply for a strategy meeting with you. But that's the way the leads pick your service, and you do not pick the leads you would actually want to have. So you got leads from the smallest size company to the biggest size company, but as our service was not good enough for the big size companies, as we had to split our focus from a one-man show to a big corporate, we only got the small customers. So what we also, it's also a bridge to the next mistake, we were not sure about our ideal customer profile or our target audience. So we wanted to serve everyone. We wanted to build a product for everyone. And I strongly recommend to not do it that way. I strongly recommend it. Take your audience and really go deep into that audience. Understand what this specific audience wants. And I know it's difficult to say no to leads which want to apply for your service and blah, but that was a big mistake, which I wouldn't do the same again.
I think this is something that only founders that reach a certain stage or that have done it before really truly understand, is you have to get incredibly specific, because it matters for your product, it matters for your sales process, and it matters for everything. Can you dive in a little bit deeper on how that affected you once you chose your one ICP?
Yes. So how it affected us is that we, now before that, as I said, we did marketing, people applied, we closed them, we basically closed everyone which wanted to do our service. What we did now is we make a paradigm switch. So we are looking now for companies which we actually want to have as our customers, and then we reached out to that companies and with a concrete offer. Of course, it's more difficult to convert them as they are not warm already, but in the end, you will get the customers you actually want to have instead of the customers which you maybe don't want to have. So like a complete 180 degree switch, I would say.
Okay. And so how has this, okay, I want to go, there's so many different ways I want to go with this.
I know.
Let's go. Because it's a really good example. And I think this is something that a lot of founders need to hear and put into action. But let me ask you this then. How did you go through that process of deciding, okay, this is going to be the best client for us?
So we are on the market already pretty long, since 2018 undercover and 2019 officially, so we generated a lot of data through this time. Okay, so we just analyzed all our past customers, all the previous customers we had, all the current customers we had. We actually made a unit economics calculation on each of them, like on cohorts, on each of them specifically. Also, we checked the unit economics, so customer acquisition costs. We checked how much actually we spent on operational effort for them. So we tracked the time we spent per customer, and then we just played the numbers game. We checked, okay, with this customer we lost per month $150 or euros in our case, or with this customers we actually earned, and so on and so forth. And then we experienced, and then we identified like three or four ideal customers which we had throughout the time, and then we created an ideal customer profile out of this ideal customers which we had in the time of Space Goats. And now we're focusing exactly on them. And it sounded like impossible in the beginning because your service is so nice, everybody can benefit from it and blah. But in the end, it was easier than we thought to just said, no, we will go for them. And then we go for them. So I don't know how to, like from 10 customer, from 10 employees to 250 up to 10 million, from 10 million yearly revenue, stuff like that. Yeah. And there are many companies out there still, if you filter them that way. So we were a bit afraid. Yeah. If you don't know it better, then you do mistakes, right?
So how many, after you did this exercise, how many companies were there in that list?
In that, like from our customers?
For your target customers within your ICP.
Okay, I cannot give you a precise number as they are split all over the place, but alone in Germany, it was a 5-digit number, like five digits companies. That's still more than enough, but we were afraid that we will miss out on opportunities, you know, FOMO.
Yeah. I'd much rather have that 10% of a 100 million than 1% of 200 million.
Exactly. And then because you asked about the process, also a super, super important step on this way was to adjust the pricing, to really adjust the pricing. In the beginning, we were way too cheap. We had only 1 month of minimum contract duration. We had no setup fees. We had a 50 cent per unit instead of a percentage of the revenue. So we were way too cheap and we're afraid if we raise the prices, we will not get more customers. But guess what? Serious companies, they know that you have to pay a real price. Otherwise, it's not serious, right? So it actually benefits us. And we had in our peak time over 200 customers. And right now we are under 100 customers because we increased also the prices for our current customer. Okay, of course they got a special deal and so on, but still we got rid in hard words of more than half of our customer base and make now more revenue than with 200 customers, internal revenue, plus we don't need that much operations anymore, so we could reduce our operational effort per customer by like insanely a lot. So that was a very important step, adjust the pricing.
I know this is a really scary thought for most founders, is to change the pricing or increase the pricing.
Yeah.
You know, generally, whenever I go and work with a company, I think the average is around two times I increase the price, like right off the bat before even doing anything else.
Yep.
And it seems so weird, but it already sets off such a psychological thing. Because as you said, the serious companies know that they have to spend money. And if you're way cheaper than your competition or you're too cheap, they're going to think, okay, what's wrong? Like, it doesn't make sense that it's this inexpensive. There's got to be not a good thing here.
Yes.
Did you come across any objections with your ICP, your new ICP, when you raised your price?
Nobody wants to pay more if you ask. So for the current customers, we really...
Could you try again?
Sorry, my Siri was going off.
Ah, okay. What was the question again? Sorry.
Did you come across any objections from your ICPs when raising the price?
Yes. As I said, 100%. No customer wants to pay more if you ask the current customer. If you want to pay double the price, well, I know our service is better and blah, 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 but we need to charge more. But the big companies all understood because they know the prices are rising, the service quality goes up, and you need to adjust your pricing at some point. And for the big companies, which didn't ever hear the old pricing like our new ICP, that was not even expensive. Yeah, so I think before that it was so cheap that they thought it's not a serious product. These guys are not serious, but the current price for the most people is fair. But the funny part is all the our old ICP or our old small customer base, for them it's completely too expensive. Way too expensive, and I'm like, okay, maybe it was the right decision to filter out the customers. And we filter with two ways. So we have a minimum fee, So we have a from zero to X amount of revenue, you pay always the minimum fee. And on the other side, you pay a percentage of the revenue. So whichever one, whichever is greater. And what we also can do to filter customers, we can just increase the minimum fee, but the percentage stays the same. And you, the big customers pay exactly the same as they would do before, but you filter out the small customers, because with 400 euros per month, you cannot make money. At least in our business model, we cannot make money. Yeah, that was also some kind of a leverage we had, like just increase the minimum fee.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a really good move. Now, you mentioned that, you know, before the inbound is what you were doing. And mm-hmm. so now you're kind of changing who your ICP is, who mm-hmm. you're going after. You've increased your price. Good move so far.
Yeah.
I take it you switched to outbound because if not inbound, what are you doing?
Outbound, yes.
So can you kind of cover what you were doing and what's worked for you, what's not?
Yes, I would love to. So we, in general, we have to close less customers than before. So before that, we had to close on a weekly basis new customers, as we needed many to actually get the revenues we needed to operate. But now we have to close less customers, maybe half or one third of the customer like quantity than we did before. So that's also, it makes life a bit easier. So the sales team does not need to be as big as it was before. We had a huge marketing sales team, 9 people, like way too much for what we do now. And now to the process, what are we doing? So first of all, there are many options. You can get the addresses by scraping. You can scrape Amazon and check if there are companies which have potential in the other marketplace. But what we are doing concrete now, so that you have a takeaway for home, we go on LinkedIn Sales Navigator. Just one example. We go on LinkedIn Sales Navigator. We filter the companies which we need to which we want to get, and then we save the companies in lists. Okay, you probably know Zapier or similar tools. We use N8N, for example, it's similar to Zapier. And out of that, we pull the information of the company and the company information from LinkedIn, plus the employees known by LinkedIn into some spreadsheet. Okay, and then we check for the email addresses and the post addresses of the company through a scraper, through like hunter.io. There are many tools which do that. We build our own. And then we have, in the end, we have a list. Company, industry, whatever information we need, how big it is, the products and blah, blah, blah. And the employees which are working at this company, plus the email addresses of the employees, plus the post of address of the company. And now we go there. So that's pretty fresh and we really enjoy working with it. And have the API of ChatGPT, like the GPT-4 API in the background. And then we push this information to OpenAI and say, write me for each individual and for each company a individualized text with the issues and with our solution. So we have a block which is always the same, so our service offering, and then we have an individual part, and then we outbound them with cold emails and cold letters. And especially the letters, at least in Germany, they work pretty good. So the people receive a letter, it's personalized, your name on it, your company description. At least for now, people cannot imagine that this is AI generated. They really think you did the work and blah, blah, blah.
Are you doing custom like handwriting letters?
No. We wanted to try it. What we did once is signature. And we did perfume on the letter and stuff like that. But in the end, it did not make, at least for us, it did not make any difference, because we A/B tested it and we didn't try 100% yet. We will see.
There's companies that will do it for you for cheap, so.
Yeah, I know. And there is also one of our friends, he actually made a robot. Like he's an engineer. I'm also a mechanical engineer by education. That's why I have friends like that. And he made a robot which simulates handwritten stuff by actually making mistakes as a human would do it. It's also like AI. So it really looks like you wrote it by hand. So we have services like that. We will definitely try it again. But for now, it's working out pretty well. And then the customer receives an email, receives a letter, so multiple touch points, as many as possible, maybe a LinkedIn in email, whatever. And then they apply for a strategy meeting, which is obviously free. And in the sale, in the strategy meeting, we qualify the lead like properly, and then it goes into our deals pipeline. We use PipeDrive, by the way, and from that on, it's just part of the normal sales process. But this, yeah, brought us leads which we wouldn't get otherwise, because I do content with you. A normal e-commerce employee for a big corporate will not listen to podcasts in his free time. He will just not. He doesn't care. He closes the laptop and then he goes to the beach or whatever. But and with that kind of content, what we do now, we will never get an employee of a corporate, but we will get other founders. But that's not our target audience anymore, actually. So we don't have to use that way to find the customers, because we don't find them there. So that's one thing we learned also on the way. And one other big mistake what we made, maybe also something for you guys, if you raise money, and it's always nice if you raise money and you have big plans, you think the world is yours, build the process and then hire the team. If you hire a big team, they will not build a process for you. We tried both ways. It's not going to happen. You have to hire one person if you don't want to do it yourself, which builds a process. And this person, after the process is running, the automations are working, the ICP is done and blah, 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 then you hire a team and not the other way around. We tried it the other way around. We received tons of money and then, okay, now let's build a team. We built from 7 people in January when we received the funding to 30 in the end of the year. So that's how many people we hired. And then me as a founder and my other co-founder, we couldn't make our job anymore because we had all the time issues with HR, let's keep it that way. HR, this guy has a problem with
be politically
with
correct. And,
yeah, and so first the process, and then first a running process, and then hire a team. It's super big learning.
I think also, as you said, if you're going to hire somebody because you don't want to do it yourself, I mean, that's a whole other issue of hiring the right kind of person. But
yeah,
that person, let's say it's sales, for example, they need to go and sell first. They can't come and just make a sales process. They have to go and sell so they understand what kind of process to make. Anybody that comes in and tells you otherwise, like, oh yeah, I've done this 10 times, no problem, I'll come and make a process for you, it will take 3 months. They're full of it. You're going to get a process that most of the time will not work.
Yeah.
So, okay.
But what you can get is a consultancy or a consultant which helps you to build the process. But in the end, you're the product expert. It's your baby. You know it the best. And you can get some consultation. But also, my opinion, you should need to build the process.
Exactly.
Good point.
Let's go back a step, because it's really interesting, the cold outbound that you did.
Yep.
So you did where it's like the same campaign, they would get a letter and then they would get the emails, or is it completely separated?
It's separated. So we first always try with emails, because emails doesn't cost money, right?
Yeah.
Because a letter costs like 50 cents, 60 cents, depends on the service provider you use. And then we handle the leads we actually get. And that's how we steer our own capacity also. So when we see we have many free slots, so I have one sales colleague, she's doing most of the sales, I do like the big accounts, and she's doing like the normal sales process from pre-qualification to closing. And with that, what was very important at this point, that you have enough time to actually follow up on the leads after you talk to them. So a completely full calendar doesn't help you. An empty calendar doesn't help you as well. So you need some kind of a thing how you can steer the capacity which you have. And that's how we do it. So we send out emails. And after we send out the emails, we will send out letters if you don't have enough meetings. And that's how we circle around. And we never send emails to all at the same time. We do it in batches. We always do batches and see the conversion rates per batch. And we always change also something on the text, so that we know what or the subject of the email or, you know, whatever. You can A/B test. And that's how we steer our own capacity.
So, it's good. So let's say you send out 1,000 emails. Let me ask you this. How many emails are you sending out on average a month?
On average a month, maybe 10,000.
Okay.
Maybe 10,000.
And what's your response rate, or I guess your positive response rate? Because that's what matters.
Positive. It's something. It really depends on the batch and on the region and stuff. But let's say 0.3%, 0.2% actually book a strategy meeting with us, something like that, or 0. Sometimes it's more. It also depends on the time when you send it, like not the time, but in summer, for example, you will have less response than in the beginning of the year and so on. So let's say between 0.2 and 1%, depending on the leads we actually used and the time when we send it out and the content we used.
So I know a lot of people, now we're kind of entering into like one of my expertises, and that's the cold email. So I'm curious on
perfect. How you're
doing it. It's like this was all planned. How are you sending 10,000 emails a month? Because that's a lot.
Yeah. So we have a provider. So we do it with AWS. And I would like, I'm not too much into technical details, as I'm not doing a technical implementation, but we have an email provider where we buy credits. It's like 0.something cent per credit per send out email. And then we send the first email out. Okay, then we wait for some time. We filter out the people which don't want to receive a second email. We check if they have a big bounce rate or whatever, and then we go for the second email and third email. And after the third email, the people get a letter or a call. So that's how we, but we are not that far yet, as we implemented the process in the beginning of the year, so that we didn't need to do the call yet. But that would be like the next when we run out of actual meetings.
So what would you say, because I know most of the companies that I come across, they're hesitant to do cold email because they think, wow, that's just spam. That's I hate getting that. What would you say to these people?
It depends on your offer. if you're like super, like if you really think you bring value, then you should go for it. I mean, if we sell more revenue, we sell expansion. And in my opinion, I'm really honestly thinking that. More revenue is always better, or most of the times better. So if somebody comes across and says like, hey, you have a good running business in Europe, why not selling the same products in the in the USA without any setup, without any bureaucracy, why not doing it? Then I'm completely confident that this is the right thing to do, right? And then I'm okay with people being annoyed by getting emails, because I think I do it in the best interest of both parties.
Really something that's really important for everybody listening is in what you just said. It goes into the content of the email.
Yeah.
Like you didn't talk about it, but like it came across in your voice and what you said. Don't sit there and talk about the features or what you do.
Yep.
Nobody cares about what you do or the features you have. They care about the end result. What do you bring them? How do you help them? And that's what you need to talk about in your cold email to make it work.
Exactly. And you have to be confident that it's really the right offer. Because if you don't believe your own product, then do something else.
That's a whole other issue.
Sorry to say, yeah, that's a whole other issue, yeah.
Great. Any last tips for people that have gone through this process and raise their prices? Mm-hmm. What advice do you have?
Unit economics first. It's not that hard to do unit economics calculation. You have customer acquisition cost, you have a running revenue with the customer, you have running operational cost with the customer, and you have a churn rate. Out of the churn rate, you calculate the lifetime of a customer, and your revenues minus the cost times the lifetime is the customer lifetime value minus the customer acquisition cost, and this number must be green. Please do it before, and in best case it must be double or triple what is the customer acquisition cost. That's the first advice. The second advice is, please don't over engineer strategies and overthink it and get too many people into the boat. And I think it's kind of a term you hear every day, but just test it, really just test it and fail directly before you engineers. And you cannot imagine how many processes we had which did not work out in the end because we just took too much time to build a process which didn't work, right? So please just test it. And if it's not automated in the beginning, then write the email by hand. Take 10 leads. You don't need to build what I told you right now. Take 10 leads and just try it, or take 100 leads. Do it manually. Go do it in the weekends or whatever. But just do it and test it and fail and understand and improve. And it's not just sad like that. It's really a learning we had in the last year.
Absolutely. I'll add to that as well, that if you're going to just do 10 leads or just 100 leads in a weekend, don't stop after one weekend.
Yeah.
Do it for multiple weekends. You need numbers to test.
Yeah.
Good. Where can people find out more information about you or Space Goats?
So I have LinkedIn, Anton Herrmann. You will probably find me as a founder of Space Goats. Spacegoats.io, about our product. And there you also find all the social media connections, like our affiliate page, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just come to spacegoats.io. I think there you will find everything you need to find.
Easy, one-stop shop. Anton, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Startup Sales with Adam Springer. Subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Contact Adam about speaking engagements or consulting services at adam@startupsales.io.